Good morning. Welcome to another Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter a day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and today we are looking at Genesis chapter 8 and the subsiding of the flood waters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for your word, which is true and reliable. We can rest our lives on the sure foundation of your word. Would you please help us to understand your word and to trust it and receive it and believe it and live in response of obedience to it? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 8. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed, the rain from the heavens was restrained, and the waters receded from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated. And in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. And the waters continued to abate until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the earth, from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days, and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him any more. In the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried off from the face of the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and mammals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth went out by families from the ark. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and took some of every clean animal, and some of every clean bird, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, "I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease." And we're going to stop there because that's the end of chapter 8. We'll pick up with chapter 9, actually on the 14th, because the next 2 days we're going to do Psalms 1 and 2 and then Proverbs 1 before we come back to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 8, we see patience is required. Even when God keeps his promise, even when God does exactly what God says he's going to do, still, sometimes things take longer than we anticipated that they would. And so patience is required, and careful planning, and a willingness to wait on the Lord. 150 days, the waters prevailed on the earth, rising and being at their peak, and then they abated, and it takes months and months. It's the seventh month, the 17th day of the month, that the ark comes to rest, but it's not until the next year, all the way through the end of that year, into the 601st year, that the waters were dried off, and Noah removes the covering from the ark, and then it's another month, and almost 2 months, because the second month, 27th day of the month, almost two more months before God finally tells Noah, you can go out. So they are in the ark for over a year, and it is a long time to wait. Now, again, all sorts of speculation comes up. What about the animals? How were they being fed? How was their waste being disposed of? Etc., etc., etc. You know, God can take care of those things. God could have had all the animals in a hibernating sleep, or God could have shown Noah a way to manage those kinds of things. We don't know. We don't have to know. It's not important. It's trivial information, and the Bible doesn't exist to answer our trivia questions, our curiosity. What we do know is we see some themes that are clearly emerging here. God keeps his word. And remember I said that in the middle of judgment yesterday, I said that God's judgment is always measured and God is always showing grace. So God remembers and God causes the waters to subside. God remembers the promises he made. Not that he had forgotten, of course. When the Bible uses language like God remembered, it's what we call an anthropomorphism or a way of putting God in human terms so that we can understand. It's not that God forgot and then he comes back 150 years later. It's like, oh yeah, that's, or 150 days later. Oh yeah, that's right. I was supposed to stop this, wasn't I? You know, God's not some senile old man. That's just a ridiculous characterization that is blasphemous, really, about God. But God here is speaking in a way so that we can understand him. God keeps his covenant promises. He remembers his own. We are not forgotten by God. You may be in a place where you feel overwhelmed by circumstances that are far beyond your control, and you may feel forgotten by God. But you are never forgotten by God if you are his child. He remembers you, and he remembers to have mercy. And so, God has mercy. But it takes time. It takes time. And it also takes planning. You send out the raven, and the raven doesn't come back. That says something about the faithlessness of ravens, and don't depend on ravens. I could make a football joke here since we're in Maryland, but I won't. I'll move on about, you're always heartbroken if you depend on the ravens. But anyway, the dove is much more faithful and brings back finally the first bit of greenery they see is a green olive leaf. But notice that even from then, it's months before Noah and the animals are able to get off the ark. So I think the big message here for today is patience in waiting upon the Lord and trusting in the Lord's goodness. Noah offers up an offering to God, an offering of thanksgiving of all the clean animals and clean birds. Notice he took extra of the clean animals and birds, and he did that so that he would have something to offer God. That was planning, and that was obedience to God's call. But then even though God says the same thing here that he says in chapter 6, the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth, he also says, I'm never again going to curse the ground because of man. I'm not going to curse the ground to only bring forth thistles and thorns. I'm going to provide a regularity of seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, as long as the earth remains. And we still have that today. Sometimes we have unpredictable weather and storms and things like that, but we have the regular pattern of seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and that is a sign of the goodness of God. And we can trust in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your patience. Thank you for your remembrance of your people. In the middle of your judgment, you always remember mercy. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Help us to trust in you and help us to be patient as we wait on you. No matter where we are in life, help us to know that you are good, you are in control, and we can trust and wait on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, tomorrow we're going to be jumping over to Psalms 1 and 2 tomorrow, and then Proverbs 1 before we come back to Genesis 9. If you want the full reading plan, email foresthillpca@gmail.com. I'll send you the reading plan so you can anticipate what's coming, and we'll look forward to being back together tomorrow. Have a blessed day in the Lord.